Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. And yes, let's get started. This is Ashlyn Dave, and this is episode 143 of the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'd like to thank you for coming along. It is the week, the week of, first week of December 2011. Time is just marching on. And this episode is going to be about, of course, all things running with the exception of the first topic. If you're a new listener, I'm a regular, ordinary, middle-of-the-pack nobody marathoner, ultra-marathoner, and I'm fond of pretty much all races in between. And I like running a lot, so that's why I do the podcast, and this is basically a podcast that's geared towards people who run do distance running and enjoy listening to just a regular person that goes out there, works a full-time job, always comes in middle of the pack, never wins anything, and just tries to have some fun in the process. So that's generally what this podcast is about in a nutshell. This week, I'm going to talk a little bit about at least the first topic, and I'll explain why. It has nothing to do with running, but it's about a graffiti tagger named Conrail Twitty, and I'll explain that. I'm going to talk about the Richmond Marathon and give the race report from that. Had a couple local people run that. Of course, I'm going to forget some of them, but I ran that. It was my third time running Richmond, my 18th marathon overall, and I had a great time. It was really uneventful overall, but I'll get to that. There's always some things that happen. I'll talk a little bit about the Cool Spring Primary 5K that I volunteered at. And I've got a note here that I was supposed to look up the winning time, so I might pause the podcast at some point and actually look that up. And then talk about what's coming up and the next two ultras that I've registered for. So let's get right into the podcast. And let me talk about Conrail Twitty. Now, a couple weeks ago, my wife and I, we go to Mass on Sunday mornings. And on this particular day, and then my daughter goes to a religious ed class at church right after Mass. And this particular day, we decided to go get a cup of coffee and a little something to eat instead of going home before we went back and picked her up. And if you've listened to the show before, you know that there's a railroad railroad tracks that go right through the center of Ashland, and it's kind of a railroad town, and the people of the town embrace the train. It's not, even though it's loud, it's not something that people don't like. It's embraced. Well, there's a coffee shop right on the tracks called Ashland Coffee and Tea, kind of a local place, and we were pulling up to wait in line right at just a couple car lengths back from the railroad tracks, when a couple that we know came out of the coffee shop and were kind of walking with a purpose towards the railroad crossing. And if you can kind of just visualize, this is a railroad crossing right through the middle of town with, Main Street on either side with angled parking for the cars, at least on one side. The other side is parallel parking. It's got sidewalks, and then you have a street, then you have the two sets of railroad tracks right in between. And this couple, the Connors, Cindy and Walt Connor, were kind of walking with a purpose and almost not running, but walking real fast towards the train. And I pointed out to my wife, I say, look, they must either like trains, really like trains, or there's something going on. Well, then they walked up and where they could see the train passing, and the train passes slow enough through town where you can look at the graffiti tags if that's something that you like to do. Anyway, we were going to go somewhere else. Then we decided to come back and actually go in the Ashland Coffee and Tea. Not really sure why we drove down. Maybe we went to put a check in the bank or something. So we were coming back. We decided to park and go in there, and Cindy Connor invited us to join them. They were just having coffee. And so I kind of made the joke. I said, hey, we saw you guys earlier. I said, either you guys really like trains or you're into graffiti or you like the graffiti. I made some joke about how it was, I thought it was kind of funny that they were walking over to watch the train because here we live in a town where the trains go by all the time. So locals don't really, it doesn't really bother them. It's not really a sight. It's kind of neat to have these trains going through town, but it's not really something that you stop and ponder because they happen all the time. Well, as it turns out, one of their sons was tagged freight cars, and he was Conrail Twitty. That was his tag. And what made it even more interesting, and it totally explained why they went out to watch for his tag, is because he committed suicide back in January of 2008. And so their son lives on through these graffiti tags. And obviously it's not something they, condone. It's obviously breaking the law, trespassing on rail yards and doing graffiti. It's vandalism. But they've learned so much about their son's life through looking at some of these tags, which generally have some kind of moniker on them. And so he was the... Anyway, look up Conrail Twitty if you're interested in that. I just thought it was a very interesting thing. So now, as in the past, when I looked at trains and I thought graffiti was ugly, I actually find myself when I'm running along the tracks and a train goes by, I actually look for Travis's, his name is Travis Connor. I actually look for his tag now to see if I can see it. I have not seen it yet. And of course, there's websites about it and, ad nauseum, if you want to look into graffiti stuff on the internet, there's lots of it out there. So anyway, that was kind of interesting. Like I said, has nothing to do with running. However, it's, I don't know. I learned something about the Connors, and I guess when you're in a situation where you've lost a child, these things are interesting to find out, stuff that your son did when they were alive. It's kind of interesting. All right, well, let's get into the Richmond Marathon report. The Richmond Marathon was on November 12th of 2011. As stated earlier, that was my third time running Richmond. I also ran Richmond in 2006 for my first marathon. I ran it in 2009 for my 10th marathon. And then this past month, or earlier this month, I ran it for my 18th. That was my 12th road marathon. I've done 6 ultra events, which I count as marathons when I count them all together. And one thing that I found interesting was that without even trying, I ran within almost within 20 seconds of my first marathon time. I ran under a different name, many thanks to David Williams for allowing me to participate at his expense. thank you very much, David. I really do appreciate that. I definitely couldn't pass up the opportunity for a free shirt and a free finisher's medal if I was able to finish. And I guess I was, I had offered to pay David, but he considered it a donation to the podcast for me to run with and using his name without having to pay and running under his bib. So you can look up the time. It's under David Williams. It was 4:44:38 officially. And a couple things from the race, which I'd said at the beginning of the podcast, it was uneventful. What I mean by that was that it wasn't an eventful marathon. Meaning, it wasn't really anything weird that happened. I had very few expectations, other than just wanting to finish and getting the finishing medal. I wanted to come in within 5 hours. I hadn't put in enough long runs in my mind to go out there with a specific time in mind. However, because I always have before, I always really want to run 4.5 hours. So, of course, I try for that. And my friend Ashlyn Tom was actually one of the pacers for the 4:15 group. And he had just done the 50 Mountain Massacus the week before, 50 miles. So here, within a week, he's doing another marathon. He picked me up pretty early in the morning. We got down there, had a hard time finding a place to park, and then trudged several blocks over to the Marriott where we were supposed to meet up with a woman that he had made contact with over the Richmond Roadrunners message board on picking up her her half marathon bib and planned to meet up with her. The only problem was nobody knew what she looked like, only that her name, I think her name was Sandy or something like that. I can't remember what it was. Maybe I wrote that down somewhere. But it was real nice of Tom to pick it up for, but didn't really know what she looked like. And so anyway, it was about 20 minutes after 7. The half marathon was starting around 7:30. And he still hadn't found her yet. So I said, look, Tom, I'll go check our bags at the bag check. And if she shows up, you know, you can give it to her. It turns out she showed up right after I left to go check our bags. So that was really good and real nice of Tom. So I had, like I was saying, I had very low expectations. I didn't expect to go out there and crush anything or anything like that. I really just wanted to have fun. And I did. And went out there kind of relaxed, I think I ran a 2:12 half marathon split, which at some point I think I just decided I was just going to go out and just run as well as I could for as long as I could, and then I would deal with whatever problems I had later, just as a kind of procrastinator. It was really cool around before the half marathon mark. I ran into Ashlyn Bob. He was out there cheering for his wife. Saw several people from Team Incognito, and lined up at the start. I lined up with Tom's pace 4:15 pace group. Thanks to David Williams, my bib number on Corral was pretty high. I think he had predicted a 3:45 to a 4-hour finish, so I was able to line up pretty close, and I was able to talk with Tom at the start. And then after the race started, you know, of course I couldn't stay with the 4:15 group, so I just decided I'll just stay with the 4:30 group. And as long as I can. And so I did that for as long as I can. And then I eventually saw them pass me. And then around mile 22 to 23 is when all of a sudden I started paying attention to the 4:45 pace group. And there was a man and a woman. They both had the 4:45 pace group bibs on their back. And they passed me. And I just remember thinking, I'm not going to run. You know, I got it enough in me to get inside 4:45. And so at that point, around mile 23 or so, was when I decided that I was going to be racing the 4:45 folks. And that's what I did. And I came in really just a few minutes ahead of them. Or seconds, you know, a matter of seconds. Which was cool. You know, I made my time goal, which was to come inside 5 hours. And then here at the end of the race, I decided that I was going to, all of a sudden, wanted to make this other time goal. The finishing medal was really cool. Oh, I bored myself again. It was bigger than the other Richmond medals that I have, almost twice the size of the one from 2006. And this shirt is pretty cool. I was signed up because of the name I was using. I was signed up to get a large, and they had something that's called a shirt exchange. I was able to leave with an extra large. And I've already run once in the shirt, and it's, you know, very satisfactory. Just overall had a great time. Saw another guy I knew out there named Mike Devlin, who I know through the Y. And it was his first marathon, and we finished really just around the same time. I think he was ahead of me because he got a big surge at the end because he was part of this marathon training team that the Richmond Sportsbackers folks do. And they had people all over the course. And I'm going to reserve comments about the overcoaching on that because I did not experience it like it was at the Patrick Henry half. The people that were coaching the runners, the people on the half on the full marathon training team, the sports backers, they were focusing just on the people in the program, not trying to give everybody advice. And I respected that. And if you've listened to the overcoaching podcast, then you'll know what I'm talking about there. But anyway, talking to Mike Devlin at a swim meet later, I think it was the week after, because his kids swim on the same swim team as my daughter. He didn't know anything about my marathon experience, and he was recounting just his first marathon experience and how much fun he had and how great it made him feel. And it was just really cool listening to him, talking about and how excited he was and how he wanted to try to do it again. And it was so refreshing to to hear that come from somebody who's he's clearly in his probably early 40s, and here he ran his first marathon, and just to hear somebody so excited about life and running, it was just very refreshing. And I also got to hear that at the night of the marathon, we had our traditional marathon party. It's in its third year. We've had it for 2 years, and then the first, I guess it was 2009, it was over at somebody else's house, and I got to listen to a lady named Amy talk about her first marathon experience, what she had done that day. Of course, she was still flying high on the excitement, and again, she didn't know anything about my running history, and she just was just so excited about the experience, and it was just nice to hear somebody recount all that, because I could totally relate. And even though that was my 18th marathon, my 12th road marathon finish, third for Richmond, it was still just as satisfying as any other one I've done, with the exception of the first one, because that was the best marathon I've ever had, is that first time across the finish line, which is really what propelled me into doing more and more. So I don't really know where I'm going with that, but it was just very, I guess the eventful part of the marathon experience happened later. Didn't necessarily happen during the race. It was in sharing the experience with others afterwards, especially those first timers that I got to listen to talk about their experience without them knowing anything about what I've done, because that way they were just able to totally express those feelings that a newbie always has. And it's always good to hear those, because it reminded me of why I started doing it in the first place, and reminded me of just that satisfactory feeling, that rewarding feeling that you get when you cross the finish line, knowing that you just covered, pretty much the ultimate running distance on foot. Notwithstanding ultra marathons, the road marathon experience is something totally different. Overall during the race, nothing really funny or spectacular happened. All the cool stuff was afterwards. I did get through. I had a couple rough patches. I knew I would. Crossing that finish line was still just as rewarding as any other time that I've done it. And I have to say that I do like the Richmond Marathon. That's the only one I've done three times. I think I've done B&A twice, and I don't think I've repeated any other marathon more than twice other than Richmond. One of the cool things that we saw when we were, after Tom and I parked the truck and we're walking to the race, we were actually walking against the grain of the people of the start of the 8K, and so we got to see the elite runners run past us, and I think that might have been the first time I've ever seen the elite runners running in a group together. This was down Broad Street in the city of Richmond. I never saw that before. I've been, a couple years ago when I was on the, I think it was 2009, I was riding my bike around the course to try to catch up with some of the people that I was supporting. And I saw, I think, the third place marathon, the guy that eventually came into third place in the marathon. But it wasn't like a pack of them. I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool. So Richmond overall was a good experience. There's just not a whole lot to report really from the race itself, because it wasn't a triumphant day. I didn't set a personal record. I didn't do a personal worst. I finished. My expectation was to come in sub 5 hours, and I did, and it felt great. I got a great finishing medal and a t-shirt, and all thanks to David Williams, one of the listeners of the podcast, and also one of our fine military officers. Now, the reason I ran Richmond, if you haven't been listening to the show all along, and it kind of came up suddenly, I was not planning on running Richmond. The race I had done before that was a Patrick Henry Half Marathon, and I think I told myself, if I can do the Patrick Henry Half, then I'll continue on training for Richmond. And keeping in mind, I came off of a 50-miler from May. Then came back down to the half marathon level, and then David actually offered me the registration, and I said, what have I got to lose? I'll get some training runs in there, and I did, and so I was able to cross the finish line upright, no injuries. Funny thing though, the whole week after the marathon, I had a bad head cold, not enough to miss any work, but boy, I felt miserable, and So as a result, I didn't get any training in, and so the marathon was supposed to be really my first real long, you know, quote, training run for the Race the Graveyard 100K that I'm doing on March 10th, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. Let me hit on the Cool Spring Primary 5K. I helped at the finish line. This race was in King William. The winning time was, I think, 18 minutes and some change. Last year it was 17 minutes and some change. Pretty good size race for a 5K, a small community out in King William County, which is primary rural. The interesting thing about this race, it's directed by Lee Hubbard and Stephanie Medlin, and Stephanie Medlin is one of my colleagues in the field that I work in. It was the first race in King William County. There's a Chesty, a 10K in the city or the town of West Point, which is a town in King William, on the border down on the the James River, I think. I'm not sure if it's the James River or not. I should know my geography, but this is the actual first race in the county itself. There's one called the Chesty Puller 10K that I think is a summertime race down in West Point. But this was the first road race, and it's to benefit the PTA at the Cool Spring Primary School, which is where her kids go. These two ladies do an outstanding job putting this together. It's the second year I've helped at the finish line. It's a race that I plan to be a part of again. This year they had more volunteers than they did last year, and it wasn't really needed that much. What I kind of did was... since a group from a company called Snap Fitness had showed up and they sponsored the finish line, they brought people to work the finish line for the experience. And so I was kind of corralling people after the finishing shoot to get them to walk around this little circle before they went over to the water table. Really, to be honest with you, if I had not shown up, nothing, you know, nobody would have noticed. But it's a fun event, and I did bring my daughter out there. She did the half-mile kids run, had a great time, and... if nothing else, it was worth getting up at, what time we get up? We got up at 5:30 to leave by 6:30. Wait a minute. No, we left. Yeah, I think we left by 6:30. Saw a beautiful sunrise driving east from Ashland out to King William. Just a gorgeous sunrise. That in itself was really just worth the drive. So Steph and Lee, my hat's off to y'all. Again, another good race. I know neither one of y'all listened to the podcast, but anyway, I had a good time. And... Richwood Roadrunners came out and did the finish line, and then they had the people from Snap Fitness helping. And last year was kind of a voluntary thing by Bill Webb, who basically manages all the finish lines for Richmond Roadrunners races. And I'm friends with him. We used to be neighbors. He went down there last year in the race's first year just as a kind of a goodwill gesture. And because Stephanie Medlin has just volunteered at countless races, participated in countless stuff, been in the club for many years. And so this year they looks like they did a full contract with them and got the finish line. And as a result of that, I got pushed out a little bit, which is okay with me. Got a chance for some other people to get some experience working a finish line. And this is the kind of finish line it's not a chip race. So when you don't have a chip timed race, you have a clicker, you have somebody recording the bib numbers. It's a little bit more complicated than just chips, where you have a company that comes in and they do it all with the computer, and everything is all tallied up real nice for you. With the clicker, it's a little bit different. So anyway, had a good time going down there for that, and I think I was home by 10, maybe 10:30 in the morning. Was home, you know, and got the rest of my day on. All right, but before I get to the email bag section of the show, I did want to mention what's coming up. I have registered for two ultra marathons, and this is pretty much where my head is right now. I've got I have mentioned already the Race the Graveyard 100K, which is on March 10th, and I'll link to a lot of this stuff at ashlanddave.podbean.com. And what I was doing, I was looking at my training program for that, and I was counting back the weeks, and the race being at week 24, and then at week 19, the training program that I've been using, which is it's 50 miles a week for the most part. I just did 45 this week. I'll talk about that here in a minute too. I think I'd write that down somewhere. So on week 19, The plan says run a 50K with a rest day after that. So I'm looking around. I look at Ultra Sign Up, and there's one on February 4th in Charlotte, North Carolina. It was unbelievable. It's called the Charlotte Ultra Run, and turns out I've got a friend in Charlotte, so I'll be headed down there to run the 50K on, they call it the Charlotte Greenway, but it looks like, I don't know if there really is something called that's specifically called the Charlotte Greenway. I think it's a series of greenways which have different names, and I think looks like the Ultra starts on the Mallard Creek Greenway, but it's asphalt path and crushed gravel, connecting trails, and I'm pretty excited about that because I'll have a place to stay that Saturday night before I come home on Sunday, Charlotte being about a five-hour drive from the center of the universe. So looking forward to that big time. In order to prepare for that, the training has started. I'm recording this on a Monday. Week ending yesterday, Sunday, I banked 45 miles for the week, had a monster 20 miler on Saturday, ran the first 15 by myself. I was out the door running by 6 a.m. And what I had done is I'd sent an email to my local running buddies that live here in town or in the general area saying I'd be passing by the train station at the top of each hour. Nobody's there at 6, nobody's there at 7, nobody's there at 8. And then 10 minutes till 9, I come through there again because I had parked my car there just for a secure place to keep some of my supplies. And there's Ashlyn Bob, and he's just interested in coming out for a few miles. So he got me from, I guess by the time I saw him, I was around 15.2, and he got me to 20. And so, Bob, I think you said you're a little behind on the podcast, but man, I'm so glad you showed up because at that point I needed. I was actually bored with myself. I'd been out by myself so long running loops through town. But boy, once I was done with that and I got home and reflected on it, I was so glad that I stuck it out for the 20 miles because I'm going to have to do several more of those. And then I got up Sunday and did 5 after church and 45 for the week. I hadn't done that in quite some time. Now, I want to briefly mention before I get to the mailbag section of the show, a 10-miler that I ran on Thursday before, wait a minute, was it the, this was the week of, I can't remember, it was it was the week of Thanksgiving. I did 10 miles, I think it was that Tuesday. I did a route where I ran west of the town. And I had to take my headlamp and my reflective gear because it was going to be dark by the time I got home. And I ran out into a beautiful sunset. And you might think that sunrise, sunset. For whatever reason, where we live, whenever there's neat cloud formations, it's just something that I'm just so attracted to those sights. And I really do like the sunset. So I have to remember this route. It's running out Yale Road. It's part of the Patrick Henry Half Marathon course. And I really just thought it was cool. To see the sunset. And what I did was I did an out and back. So when I was actually running back in with the sunset to my back, I turned around several times and ran backwards just to see it. So that was pretty cool. And as you could maybe realize, I'm not following the 10% rule whatsoever. I kind of bumped up real quick and I didn't really have much of a choice if I'm going to stick in there for this 100K training. Plus, I've always thought the 10% rule is really for folks whose bodies are still getting used to and strengthening in all those little areas that you can get hurt and a soreness. I think I kind of bumped it up by 20% or more, but I think when you have some experience, you can you don't really need to follow that rule as much. All right, well, let's get into the email bag section of the show. I heard from several listeners this week. And some of course, these emails are always appreciated. And you can join the inner circle at ashlanddave@gmail.com. Comments about the show are always appreciated. Usually just positive ones are encouraged. Negative ones are discouraged. I try to respond to each email. I have, in the past, I have some have slipped through. And they get pushed down in my inbox sometimes. And I have not... I've learned that I have not responded to all emails, and I of course apologize for that. However, I'm trying to make a concerted effort here lately to respond within a few days, and hopefully I have to everybody. So let's get into a couple of these, because some of them are pretty good. Heard from Rick, who's an ultra runner, and he had mentioned, he was commenting on one of the shows I talked about running headlamps and running at night, getting out for an all-night run. And Rick's his advice is to carry more than one light. Things can go wrong. You don't want to be stuck with no light in the middle of the night on a trail. He says it's happened. And if you can't walk or run because you can't see, you get real cold waiting on somebody coming up to you. He recommends that even if it's just a real small handheld, have an extra. So, Rick, I'm going to definitely take that advice. I've got, I'll talk a little bit more about the headlamp as we get farther down. I got an email from Dr. Smitty where he lent one to me. But Rick went on in his email that he actually wears one around his waist when he races. He wears one on his head and his waist, and he gets good depth perception on the trail when he has a light that's a little bit farther down, because it gives the rocks and the roots have shadows, which then he's able to not trip over. Now, he mentioned that he has a 32-inch waist, and after I'd gotten his email, mine's like a 30, I'm like a 36 to 38 to 40 to 42-inch waist, depending on, I guess, how much food I've had or the cut of the clothing. Rick, after I got your email, I went and got my headlamp, which is just one that I got at Dick's Sporting Goods that's worked, you know, well for me so far, and I tried to put it around my waist, and it was too tight. So I won't able to wear that one around my waist. However, either my mom can probably help me with a larger elastic band, or what I'm going to do is actually get a light flashlight that I'll use, or I'll just work on stretching that out a little bit more. Rick had gotten his at, it was like a Coleman brand that he got at Walmart, and then he wears a Petzl on his head. Rick, excellent suggestions. Very, very much appreciated, and I'm so glad that you had sent that email, because I really do need to have a backup light system for that race I'm going to be doing that starts at 4 p.m. It'll be dark within 2 hours probably of the start of the race, and the majority of the race is at night. I don't know what my finishing time would be in 100K. I can run 50 miles in 12 hours under real hot, miserable conditions, so, you know, I'm thinking that I'd probably be at the 50-mile mark between 12, 4 a.m., 5 a.m., and then whatever it takes me to finish the rest, I guess I'll be running, after sunrise. So I'll be needing a headlamp that's going to last 12 hours, not to mention probably a secondary headlamp if the first one doesn't last the whole time. And I asked for one for Christmas that hopefully I'll get, and I'll get to that in just a second. So, Rick, thanks for the email. Thanks for listening to the show. And, good to hear from you. Heard from Ashlyn Tom, commented on the website, ashlyndave.podbean.com. And he was just thanking us for the great support, for getting through Mountain Masochist. And he's going to be crewing for me in the Graveyard 100 on March 10th. Also heard from another Tom, commenting on the website, and he heard about this podcast from the Dirt Dog Diatribe podcast, which is excellent. Just search Dirt Dog DAWG podcast, and you'll find Mike's excellent podcast. He just got to 100 episodes, which was really cool. Tom had mentioned that he really liked the Mountain Masochist report because he's done it a few times, and he knows what it's like to chase the cutoff times. And Tom was nice enough to talk about my podcast on his blog, which is mastercompetitor.blogspot.com, and I'll link to that at ashlyndave.podbean.com if that was too long for you to remember. And Tom, thanks for hitting the comment on the website, and thanks for listening to the show. Really appreciate it. Nice to hear from you. Also, let's see, heard from Christina, which I kind of solicited this email. She's my number one groupie, and she says she always listens to the show, but I hadn't heard from her in a while, so I did a shout out on the podcast, said, hey, I haven't heard from you. And then, of course, I got an email from her real quick. So anyway, she checked in. She just did a half marathon. Her training has been on and off, but she did real good on the half marathon. I'm not sure which one she did. She's going to either do a 10K or 10 miler on Thanksgiving. And anyway, good to hear from you, Christine. Hope things are going well. And I guess I should probably she's at Lazy Bones Running .blogspot.com. Pretty good blog. Heard from Richard of the Woodlands, Texas, original loyal listener. And he's talking about, I was talking about my mediocre training in podcast episode 141. And he said he could definitely relate to that. He's going to be doing a marathon next March. So he's just kind of getting out there a little bit now. And one of the main reasons for his email was to comment about the book Unbroken by Laura Hillenbrand. And yeah, Rich, I'm almost done with this book, and it's very good. And this guy, and I don't want to spoil the book for anybody, but it's about a guy that gets stranded in the Pacific Ocean during World War II, and it turns out that he's an Olympic miler. And you know, you talk about perseverance and the will to survive and the will to get out of a bad situation. This is what this book is about. And I'm almost done with it. And Richard, I appreciate you not being a spoiler. Also, Richard also listens to Dirt Dogs podcast, which is very good. Real down-to-earth guy. And always good to hear from Richard out of the Woodlands, Texas. I had heard from Mark before, but it had been a while. One of the main reasons he wrote on the email is just commenting on how I had mentioned that I sometimes listen to my old podcast when I need some motivation. And he says that he has actually saved episode 10, which is the mental toughness episode of this podcast. And I was very flattered to hear that. And so, Mark, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to put that podcast back up as a new episode as soon as I can. I'm going to try to edit to kind of modernize it a little bit. And because what I've done is I went back and listened to it. And the music's kind of loud, and I can maybe put a little bit better spin on it. So I'm going to put that out as soon as I get a chance, and maybe some other people can benefit from it. Because the interesting thing about it is I actually listened to it while I was doing my 20-miler last weekend, because after I got your email, I couldn't really remember what all I had said in the podcast. So I actually was listening to it for some new material. I was listening to myself for some new material, if that makes any sense. So I appreciate the email. Really do. And I hope your moving plans work out really good. Looks like you'll be moving to the U.S. from London. So, pick a good spot to live, at least, you know, out where there's some good races. Good to hear from you, and it'd be nice to hear from you again, certainly. I got a nice note from Dirt Dog. He checked in. He might be running Blue Ridge Marathon in April with his friend Kevin. And I think, Mike, isn't that Kevin Green of JustFinished.com, if I'm not mistaken? Kevin, if that is, Kevin did the Grand Slam of ultra running this year, I believe. Mike, let me know that. I think the Blue Ridge Marathon is something else from what I hear. Gorgeous sights, but boy, it's got some hills. Those are some of the probably, Virginia is not known for being, you know, mountainous like the Rockies. But it's got some seriously high hills, and I think the highest point. I think the highest point in Virginia is over 6,000 feet, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't think the Blue Ridge Marathon goes that high. Anyway, hopefully you will sign up for that. And I think your friend Kevin had done that before. I'm pretty sure that's Kevin Green. Anyway, thanks for checking in. All right, I heard from Dr. Smitty. This is where I want to mention the headlamp. Last year, earlier this year, when I ran the Keys Ultra, I finished at night, so I needed a headlamp system, and I borrowed his Black Diamond Sprinter, which was awesome. It was really, really bright, and had a strobe on the back, and that's the one that I've asked for Christmas for my sister. We pull numbers or names out of a hat, and we'll do a gifts exchange that way. And it looks like Greg, it looks like some places sell it for around $65. So I think I'm going to get that. And then I'll keep the other one that I've got. And yes, I'll definitely take you up on your offer for pacing down at Graveyard. I'll be emailing you about that. Dr. Smitty ran Marine Corps Marathon in 3:43. And he wanted better, but the race was packed. He has Kiowa Island on December 10th. And then he'll also be running the Seashore Nature Trail 50K the following weekend after that, which I'm going to miss, which I regret because I'll be on call for work. And the only way I could have really made that would have been to be on call for Christmas, and something had to give. And So I got to give up that 50K. All right, heard from Chris out of the Atlanta area. And he had, I got another email from him as I was putting the show together. So I'll have to mention that next week. But he has got, he's involved with launching a new website, new trail site, slash community that's coming live on December 10th. And it's called trailrunnernation.com. I'm going to link to that at ashanddave.podbean.com so you can kind of use my site as a hub if you want to check out some of these different links that I talk about. Because I highly recommend all the websites that I mentioned of, you know, things to go check out and just see what kind of information is there. But I looked at the trailrunnernation.com site and I saw that some of the names involved with putting that site together are involved with putting together a podcast called Ultra Running Podcast, which does excellent interviews about distance running. Not doesn't have to be about ultras. I mean, these people do run them, but they just give good information about being able to handle and cope with being out on these long ass races, you know. And so if the website is anything like the podcast, which it probably will be because it's similar folks, then it's going to be a pretty good website. So I did check it out, and it's still under construction with some of the things. It looks like they're going to have a podcast, which isn't up yet. But go check it out, see if it's something that you might want to go back to after December 10th when it's when everything is going live. And that's trailrunnernation.com, and many thanks to Chris for passing that on. Chris and I probably crossed paths down in the North Face called it the Atlanta race, but it's really the Pine Mountain Ultras that they do down there in October. And it looks like, I don't have that other email in front of me, but I'll get to that in the next one. But Chris is going to be running the Iron Horse 100K in February, which is outside of Gainesville, Florida, which he says should be a really sweet race, which he'll let me know. And so, Chris, all the best with your training on that. So, if you're running 100K in February, then I know damn well you're getting your mileage up there. And matter of fact, if you get a chance, will you email me and let me tell me what your longest runs are going to be? And if I'm not mistaken, I think that might be your longest distance that you're training for, Chris, if I'm not mistaken. He's got a website, Running After Daylight, but he's hasn't updated in a while. He says he's going to, so check back on that. And Chris, I was checking your site earlier just to see what you've been doing, and it looks like you've been real busy with some outside stuff, so I'll check back to your website soon. And thanks for checking in, man. I really do appreciate the email. Good to hear from you. Also, last but not least for this week, a guy heard from Snuggy Bear, and he's been bothered by Achilles and ankle problems in both feet. Very frustrating, he says, and he's discovered that he doesn't heal as quickly as he'd like to. Learning that turning 45 has a lot to do with the slower process. He's going to be targeting Shamrock Marathon, it looks like, which is, I think, March 17th. And his last marathon was December. Now, John has joined the 50-state club, and I'm not sure how many states he's got, but I think last year he did one marathon a month all in different states. John, is that correct? I can't really remember. Hopefully we'll get together before then. Snuggy Bear, a.k.a. John, is one of the Team Incognito members, which feels like forever since we've gotten our group together. Well, that's the email this week. I appreciate everybody that sent one in. It's always nice to hear the emails and interact with the listeners on the show. You can do that too at ashlanddave@gmail.com. Please send me an email and let me know what you're up to if you're interested. And I always appreciate hearing from listeners. It's very nice when people take the time to do that. It's much appreciated. Check out some of the links I mentioned. I'll have them all at ashlanddave.podbean.com. And once again, I'll have another show out in 2 weeks. I'll be doing a 10K on December 10th called the Palatin Christmas Tree 10K. We usually do that. Our Team Incognito group does that as a team. And we waited around, I think, for an hour and a half last year thinking we were going to win a group award when we didn't. And I didn't have anything warm to wear. I was so pissed. But anyway, we'll do that again this year. And hopefully we'll get better service at the restaurant we went to afterwards. Anyway, that's just a little side joke for Team Incognito people that listen to the podcast. Okay, this is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running, and don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week.